Okay, so to continue on with Gems of Wisdom. Verse 2 says, what is the powerful glue that binds us to the unpleasant environs of worldliness? That's the question. What do you think the answer is? He says, sensory fixations which cling with attachment to the enticing things of this world. Okay, so desire, attachment, craving, clinging, that's it. And particularly for us, sensory fixations, which means that we are just completely addicted to objects of the senses. And I was talking about this the last few days, you know, our mind is just always going outward. You know, what are those people doing? What are those people saying? What's the new widget we can get? You know, what's the old thing that we want to get rid of? What's the new style? What are the politicians doing besides nothing? What are the CEOs doing? What's everything going on? You know, the mind continually outward, yeah? And then with desire, what can make me happy? Yeah? And, you know, not even realizing how addicted we are to objects of desire. Now, from morning until night, our senses want stimulation. Yeah? And that's why when people start to do retreat, they kind of go into withdrawal. Yeah? No, it really is like sensory withdrawal. And why people find gazillions of things to do in the middle of retreat. Yeah, because they need the sensory stimulation, you know, sitting and looking at one's mind, meditating, you know, is not enough sensory stimulation for the addicted mind. Yeah, so dream up all sorts of things we have to do in retreat, you know, and then, you know, all of our projects, and then all of our memories about past sense pleasure, and we review them, and then we review them again, and then we, you know, think of their disadvantages, but they come up again, you know. We replay movies in our minds, in meditation and outside of meditation, you know. Just completely focused outwards. And now it's even worse than usual, because it used to just be normal focused outward to sense things and people. Now it's not only that, but it's to the phone, you know. And you cannot carry on a conversation with people out there without them checking their phone. Either their phone rings, or it buzzes, or it doesn't ring and doesn't buzz, and they still have to look at it to see why not, because they're used to looking at it every minute or two, you know? So, you know, just really captivated by external sense objects. Yeah? And so, you know, with that kind of mind, and then the desire that is it provokes, and then the frustration when we can't get what we want, and the anger when we can't get what we want, then, you know, life just goes on in that way, creating a ton of negative karma and being continually distracted. Yeah. And it happens here too, you know, distracted by, you know, well, let's see if I can dream up more projects to do, or more emails to write, or maybe I should do this or that. Yeah. So that's what keeps us bound like glue to cyclic existence for us beings in the desire realm. So that's one of the reasons why we take the Pratimoksha precepts, in particular the monastic precepts, because it cuts down our contact with objects of desire, okay? And even when we contact objects of desire, it cuts down on how we can interact with them, okay? So there's a lot of things that we don't go near because our mind is too out of control when it's with it. And then there's things that we can't avoid going near that we have desire for, like food, or a bed or whatever, but where we have precepts regarding, we can't go around asking for this food and that food, and we can't go around saying, I want this kind of bed, I want that kind of bed, I want this, that, the other thing, okay? That's part of our monastic precepts, so that cuts down, even if we encounter objects of desire, we can't act on it, Like, even though we have a precept not to handle money, in the Abbey we do handle money, but we can only use it for Dharma-related things. We can't use it to buy ourselves anything or to buy anything for our room, okay? And so that automatically cuts down if you happen to be in town running an errand for the Abbey and you see some beautiful thing, that, gee, that would be really nice, and they won't know I got it. No, we have a precept that we don't spend money on those things. Okay? So it really helps us to not at least act out the attachment. We may go home and sit and think, gee, I wonder how I can get somebody to give me that. But at least we ourselves can't go out and get it. And if we're really conscientious about our precepts, we'll realize that we do have a precept about wrong livelihood and flattering people and giving them a small gift to get a bigger gift and hinting, and all those things are, counter to keeping correct livelihood. Okay? So our pratimoksha really, really helps us restrain, and learn to relate to the desire differently. And to realize that in the moment, if you can't get what you want, it feels like you're burning. And then after, a half an hour, it's gone. Yeah, sometimes even 10 minutes. It's just, you can't get it, you put it down. And then you realize, right after you've put it down, you realize it was no big deal anyway. Why were you burning before to get it? Because it's really not so important. You can live without it.
Another thing is, in a lot of traditions, emphasize the analytical meditation. So that you can kind of control your mind and replace your own education with some scripted thoughts besides precepts. So not every tradition is focusing on analytical meditation, but which is the goal.
Good.